I'd like to call the pre-council meeting of the Columbia City Council to order. Welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight. We've got two topics on the agenda this evening. One is a closed session, and the other has to do with the capital improvements plan. And Council Member Peters has said that she's running a little bit late, but to proceed without her when we have a quorum, since we do have a quorum, I would suggest that maybe we go ahead and do the public part of the plan of the agenda first, and that would be the capital improvement project plan process overview. Does everyone agree with that? Everyone okay with that? And then we'll do that for about 45 minutes, and I'll make a motion to go into closed session around 6:15 for negotiations with employee groups is the general topic there. Mr. City Manager, good evening.
Good evening, and I'm ready to start, but my CIP director's not here, so I gotta find out where he's at, so excuse me.
All right. Sorry if there was some miscommunication on which we would do first.
So how projects are identified? I think that was a question back or so. And so as far as Parks and Recs projects in 2013, we had significant input from a development plan. We discussed it, I know, with the Parks Commission. And it includes two specific plans identified, a neighborhood plan and a trails plan. Plan was reviewed and approved by city commissions, which I just mentioned, and ultimately you all as a city council. And then we also had a 2013 Parks Master Plan. Projects are entered into the CIP, so all those come from a master plan. A lot of our projects do come from master plans. I know sewers come from master plans. I know, you know, water and electric come from their integrated resource plans. And so we do that quite extensively from that end of it. And I also know that the IRP has a lot of times a public arm of that, and how it's identified and what you put in those. So I was involved in one in 08 with the electric, and then they did one in, I believe it was 2015. So staff also puts, based on input from maintenance, our maintenance staff, trying to do cost savings as well. I can talk to you about street projects a little bit and how those are brought forward for maintenance. You would definitely want to clear up. You're trying to keep water out of the surface, and so, you know, a lot of times people want to know why we chip seal things, and we chip seal them because we keep the water out. It's cheaper to do it that way than putting on hot mix. It's not as popular as hot mix, but that's what we do when we talk about maintenance. And the same thing for Parks and Recs on their site, on their parking lots and those kind of things. So we, Parks and Rec needs assessment, citizen survey conducted. A lot of times with our citizen survey as well, as far as citywide, they do a separate one for parks. It establishes basic allocation of the park sales tax. Staff input is based again on maintenance, programming needs, impact of operations. We meet with other governmental agencies such as the Convention and Visitors Bureau, our Utilities Department, Missouri Department of Conservation, and DNR. We also have meetings with partner agencies such as the Trails Association, PedNet Coalition, Sporting Columbia, the Diamond Council, and those. We continue or complete park development projects of multiple years. They're phased a lot of times, such as Battle Park. It mentions that. I know the Sports Field House is a phased project as well. We did, what, phase one already, and I think there's a phase two, possibly a phase three. Same for our Farmers Market Pavilion. There's other phases that go with that as well. City commissions give input, our PNR, our Parks and Rec Commission, Bike Ped, Energy Environment, P&Z. A lot of people give input to these projects. And then finally, I believe we have the hearing with you all as a council, and you approve that. So how are they done in Public Works? We do a lot of transportation needs, street projects. We identify things off the Columbia Area Transit Study Organization, major roadway plan. We do the 2050 long-range plan, and I know those have a component of public input. I know Mr. Thomas has commented on that it needs to be more robust than what we've been doing, and so we're trying to work through that. Individual street projects are identified, you know, from congestion, safety needs, older streets, and, you know, that we have that maybe don't have curb and gutter and those types of things that we try to bring up to standards. We call those unimproved streets a lot of times when we don't have curb and gutter on them. And so ultimately, again, it comes to you all for approval. Sidewalk projects. We do have a sidewalk master plan. Those individual sidewalk projects are identified for connectivity. When I first came here, I can tell you that one of the projects that we needed desperately is from Williams Street down to Old 63. You could see a walked path in the grass that was that way for many years, and we finally put a sidewalk in. That's where we knew people were walking, so that's how they get added to the list in that part. We also have major maintenance. A lot of our concrete streets, when we build them, they look new and they're nice, and all of a sudden they get 30 years old and they require major updates to concrete pavements. As you move along with the asphalt streets, you know, they're nice when they're built, but they can be easily repaired. They can have an overlay. They can have a chip seal. Concrete, not so much. You can't just go in and overlay that without significant improvements to the pavement. And it takes a lot of money. So how projects are ranked? Public Works, we go through a quarter cent sales tax, which is a 10-year ballot that we approve a list of projects. And so a lot of times our capital improvement sales tax also includes fire trucks, you know, because some of those cost $1 million plus, so they end up being capitalized. We have a county road rebate tax in which the county collects a tax and we get a portion of that. We have development fees. We have developer contributions. A lot of times developers will build streets and give them to us for their development. And then we also get various state grants and federal grants, which is, I'll just use the Discovery Ridge project as that example. Quarter cent sales tax ballot started in January of 2016 and goes to 2025, so we're about a little over halfway through that. They're identified and presented to voters, much like you're getting ready to do with park sales tax. We're identifying projects that we're going to use that money for, and that's how they get identified. That doesn't mean we can't change from that. It just means when we identified those projects, that was the list that was presented to council at the time. Annual funds for projects such as sidewalk improvements, traffic calming, and identified in the 10-year street ballot or capital improvements ballot. Those generally typically fill in for cash flow as we move along, and you know, traffic calming, we have a list of projects that far exceed what we can fund. The list is approved by the council, and the city's public improvement process is followed for each project. So as we go forward, even though you're going to see this list of projects that you're approving, I'll just use the current one, the park sales tax, each one of those projects comes back to you in a street department as a public hearing, probably an ordinance to acquire the right-of-way, and an ordinance to construct. And there's also, before all that happens, an IP, interested parties meeting, that happens before that. So we do have a process laid out. We follow it. Sometimes people feel it's not robust enough, but for 99% of the project, it works. Utilities. Projects are identified from various sources. So management, master plans, like I said, integrated resource plans for wastewater and stormwater, integrated electric resource and master plan and water master plan. So as people, you know, as you are asking, how do these get on this list? This is how they get on the list. We master plan, we present master plans to council. It may be 20 years ago that we did that. I will just tell you, in 06, we did an airport master plan, and we're coming up on the end of all those projects. We're about to complete them all, and we'll have to do a new master plan. So some of them can be 20 years old. And so you wonder, how did that one get on the list? It got on the list 20 years ago, or even before that, because we never take any off, even though we don't build them. So projects are identified from various sources. Again, citizen, customer requests, council requests. We get a lot of things asked of us from council over the years, such as a stop sign where for you know, people feel like it's dangerous. We look at traffic calming requests come in a lot from council. And so we get council requests from time to time. Some of it's mandatory requirements. I'll use the sewer plant. We had to update the sewer plant because of regulatory requirements. You can no longer put, you know, you got to get your ammonia out of all the sewer or the effluent in the sewer. So we try to get to those regulatory requirements by building those types of plants. I will tell you, it's very costly sometimes. The sewer plants was around $57 million to do that. Coordination with others. A lot of time Boone County does projects jointly with us, such as overlays, or we actually have agreements with them where we take some of the county roads over because it's easier for us to get to them than it is to them, and they take some of our roads. And so sometimes it's coordinated projects. One of those that comes to mind that will be coming toward you all one of these days is Grace Lane. As we finish that Discovery Ridge project connection from 63 and it goes over to Grace Lane and connects to I-70, it's going to become a problem because that traffic is going in front of houses with driveways. And then some of them are development driven. Swift Foods, you know, that's a good example of that. We're building a sewer, water, you know, any time you have development like that, there's normally not enough infrastructure to do everything. And so sewer needed to be upgraded there. Am I going too fast? Do you have any questions? Yes, Ms. Fowler.
Councilman Fowler.
Thank you, Mayor. So there's a rule of thumb, this is what I've gleaned so far, that it to make it to the CIP, it means that it's going to take longer than a year to complete?
To make it to the CIP in what manner? What would, so give me an example.
A project versus you're going to do something you can accomplish in a month versus something that is going to take a year to finish. Is that a dividing line for whether it's on the CIP? I have a feeling, I mean, my understanding is it's a combination of dollar value and how long it'll take to complete before, whether it's worthy of the CIP as opposed to another part of the budget. Is that correct?
Not necessarily, and I'm going to use Swift Foods as an example. That sewer project, when you all said, we're going to do this,
yes.
Staff gets in the motion saying, okay, we need to build a sewer, we need to get it on the budget, we need to identify it on the CIP, we need to do a lot of things. And so it can move very fast, and it has to move fast in order for us to get it done by next summer. And so it's still on the CIP, but it moves a lot faster than if it's a project that hasn't been a need, and there's a lot of difference. Some people see a need, some people see a want.
Sure.
And so sometimes we have wants that just sit there. Mm-hmm. And so they don't move very fast. But a need such as this one that you've all committed to, and we have, you know, if we don't do it, then we are going to lose millions of dollars and we're going to get sued. And so that's going to move fast, where that want won't move real fast, even though it gets put on the CIP. And so to me, everything should be on the CIP that's doing public improvements, because we have a public improvement process and you must follow it.
So then the dollar threshold or the time threshold doesn't really apply to my rule of thumb?
Not to me.
Okay, so it's an improvement project is what characterizes it.
It's all about the process.
So versus it's a it's a maintenance project. So we know there's a stormwater problem in my neighborhood. You know, it rounds the corner, it's deteriorating. So that's an improvement project. But if for some reason there was something below grade that needed to be fixed, it wouldn't be on the CIP.
It's still, it may not be on the CIP, but it still would follow the public improvement process. So here's where me and legal get crossways sometimes. They see a public improvement, you have to follow the process all the time. Some of those to me are maintenance projects where I'm just going out fixing problems such as you're describing.
Okay.
But we still had to follow the process because I got to do a public improvement process, so I don't go out and do something that you all don't want done. I got to follow the, you know, appropriate money to do it. And so it may not be in the CIP, but it may demand me to get it done quicker because it's a problem.
So
it may be a collapsed pipe, so it'll never make the CIP. I'll get it done rather quickly, but it's still going to have to follow the process.
So what I thought I had, what was clear as mud is now a little muddier because
it's always muddy.
So the way to think about this is, does it follow the capital improvement process, and that makes it worthy of being on the CIP?
No.
I mean, truly, if it's an emergency, then it's not going to ever make the CIP. If I can get it on there and do through the budget process or get it through that, I will do that route. But if it's truly an emergency, I still have certain things I have to do, no matter what, whether it's on the CIP or not.
Okay, I'm going to use the improvement process.
And that is an emergency part on me.
Got it.
Like when we had, a collapsed pipe in a certain area, I can't remember exactly. We still had to come to you all and let you know, here's what we're doing and following it.
Garth, in front of that.
Speed bump on the runway.
Speed bump on the runway. Still had to follow the process. Still had to come tell you, here, I'm spending this money. I need to do this quickly. And, you know, these are the things that will never make the CIP, even though there could be millions of dollars.
Now my rule doesn't work anymore because
and I'm going to tell you, there's no rules for it because it's just that way. It's because it depends on what it is and how important it is.
And I understand that, and I understand the exigent circumstances of that, but when we're trying to explain this to our neighborhoods, to our neighbors, that's where this gets crazy for them. And they say, I can't make heads or tails out of this. And so that's one of the reasons why I asked for this orientation, because
sure.
I would like us to be able to make heads or tails out of this and to be able to explain it.
99% of the time it works.
Well, let me go back to your example of the stormwater problem in your neighborhood. That's on the capital improvement plan.
Yes.
That capital improvement project still has to follow the public improvement process.
Yes.
So once it comes up on that list, because a council member is pushing for it, we've heard a lot of public comments about it, we have the budget for it, it's that, you know, we're down to project number 5 on the list, that's when they have an interested parties meeting.
Yes.
Where they presented all those plans.
Yes.
That's where staff comes back to council with a proposal on how to proceed.
Yes.
And we direct them to move forward. And in that case, we didn't like that plan. Once you do, they had plan A and plan B. How about plan C that is somewhere in between both of those? They go back. Sometimes they have a second public improvement interested parties meeting. And then they come back and we direct them to go to bid. They go to bid. They come back with the contract that we then approve, and they fulfill the project.
So it's both on the CIP, and it's also in the public improvement process.
Which is in ordinance.
Okay.
So the public improvement process is a process with a set of steps that have to
yes.
be followed. The capital improvement plan is a document, a tool. It's just a way of organizing all the projects and looking at them and then debating and among council and staff which are higher priority.
Yeah.
It's just an organizing tool, really, is the capital improvement
okay.
plan.
Correct, Mr. Thomas. It's just our I call it the work plan for that year, and that's what we're doing. And then you're going to see what's 2 through 5 in the years coming, and does council want to make adjustments to those? That's when you make the adjustments, not in the current year.
Here's why that capital improvement project plan is important. I was called on the radio because they were replacing water lines down Stewart Road. They just repaved Stewart Road. The water department shows up, and they're going to dig it up and put a new main down. Having a capital improvement plan shows multiple departments who's doing what in each area so that John and his directors can coordinate better so that they do the water main first, and then streets comes back. Because we're going to do the streets in 2 years anyway, let's go ahead and do all the underground work while we can. So I think it helps coordinate efficient use of taxpayer money. by having that type of planning document. I think Councilmember Thomas explained it a good way.
Okay, thank you.
So how projects are ranked? So regulatory compliance is always going to get number one. If we have to do it for regulations, you know, that's going to be a high priority because we could run the risk of getting fined. Operation and maintenance needs are number two. If we're having trouble in areas such as like I described, the collapsed pipe, you know, if we're going to have, you know, holes falling in the road, we got to get those kind of things fixed. And then coordination by others, if we you know, there somebody may be waiting for us, such as moving something, I'll just use a water line to do a road project. And so, you know, we need to coordinate that. Funding availability, so cash flow. Anytime you all pass a ballot, such as park sales tax, the first thing happens when it passes is we go to finance and say, okay, well, how do you see this cash flow? How do we stack these projects up in the right order to get them all built quickly? And so you can't build the most expensive one first because you don't have it in the bank. So you pick what you can do and then build that cash up to build that expensive project. So and so that's when I talk about funding availability. Stormwater utilizes a scoring system. And so, you know, that's another way we look at it. So CIP process, every year it runs kind of with the budget. And so we start in January, we discuss projects within departments, making sure that all departments know what's coming down so we don't run over each other, and as the mayor described, so we don't go pave a road and all of a sudden the next month we cut it open for a water line. So that's that end of it. Then priorities is discussed with myself and the deputy city manager, and so we kind of go through all that. Final project requests are submitted by departments. I review them. We put it in the CIP dashboard to update it. Then we start going down the commission side of it, the P&Z, and anytime, you know, I'll just use the park sales tax, they're probably looking at it as well before it gets to P&Z. The CIP with funding needs is then presented to you all. We have a hearing on it. And then in September, you pass the document along with the budget. So I know that's hard to read. It talks about in February, the budget staff prepares a list of proposed projects for the upcoming fiscal year. And, you know, those are based on those list of projects that we've been looking at from 2 to 5 years. So we're looking at pulling up the 2-year project up into the current year that you all are going to look at. The department needs meets with city management, which is myself, Finance Director Lou, and probably the department head with those projects. Final project requests are shared with the management during the department meeting. So when we're talking about the budget, we go over the same stuff over again with myself. So I know what's coming, so I can articulate it to you why we're doing these projects. Once it's finalized, the projects are updated and put into our dashboard. Funding sources, of course, capital improvement sales tax, park sales tax. The capital is 0.25 cent. I think the parks is an eighth cent. Is that correct? Pardon?
1/8.
1/8. Yeah. And then transportation sales tax, actually 1/2, correct? And so in an enterprise revenue, we get, through fees and rates of our utilities, public improvement process, and bond funds as well. Yep, Ms. Fowler, sorry.
So I understand enterprise revenue, I understand bond funds, public improvement. I don't understand that as a funding source. Thank you.
It is 1% of the sales tax.
Oh, okay.
So, it's 2%, I'm sorry. 98% of the sales tax goes into the general fund, and then that 2% goes into the public improvement fund.
Thank you.
That's the general sales tax,
yes.
Which is what, 2% of sales?
That's correct.
2% of 2%,
yeah.
Goes in.
That's right.
Okay. Is that also the development fee over here? The development fee, you know, percentage of the cost per square foot of a house that's built?
You know, that's not the same thing. That is.
Where does that fall in?
That goes into, it doesn't fall in here. This just lists the top funding sources. So, but that goes into the general fund, those fees that you're talking about.
I'm talking about the funds that go, that can only be used for specific types of streets and infrastructure improvements.
Like, I'm sorry, I'm not quite sure. I know we have, like, bonding and...
The development fee, you know, when a new house is built, it's based on the square footage of the house, a certain number of cents per square foot.
Yes.
50 cents.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, those go into the general fund, and then they were phased out to whatever project they need to go toward.
But the but they can only be used for certain infrastructure improvements.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So some of the projects on the CIP list are funded from that revenue.
Yes, in part. Yes.
So this is not a complete list of all of the funding.
No, this is not a complete list. Ones. Yes. We did a few report changes this year. So if you've noticed these new pages, they show a life to date authority as well as actuals and proposed for the new fiscal year.
Thanks. Capital. How?
Yes.
How do I best understand the concept of life to date?
So, most projects, most things are funded on a year-to-year basis, but CIP projects are given a budget that lasts through the life of the project. So, that's what makes it a life to date project.
Thank you.
So some other changes that we have, we're looking, with the new report, we're looking 5 years in the future. And then there's also an additional 5 years, which I'll show you in a few slides. It doesn't pull all the active projects, but it does show funding in FY22 and beyond. So if there was something from a previous year, it may not show that, but it shows everything from 22 moving forward. So we just wanted to be able to show descriptive information for the staff, for the council, and for the citizens in this new document. So this is one of the project pages. And so they describe each project, the funding request for the project. Then they also have justification for changes, which is new this year. This was requested, I believe, it may have been by a council member, it may have been by staff. I'm not quite sure, but it was requested because sometimes there are changes in projects, and it was getting lost in the shuffle. This way, from this point forward, we'll be able to have a description of whatever that change was. And so it'll be blank this year, but moving forward, this will be where you can track those changes. Mayor, did you have a question?
How would a citizen or a council member influence what is on the capital improvement project list, other than getting four council members to agree with?
Comments?
Moving things up or down or adding things to the list.
That is correct.
Anytime during the year, and then we really talk about how they get funded during the budget process.
Yes.
Okay. And so just to clarify, is there a written requirement that projects over or greater than $1,000 or that take multiple years to complete automatically go on the capital improvement plan?
So to be a capital item, to be capitalized, it must be $5,000 or above and take longer than a year.
Got it. So that makes it a capital improvement, but that's not necessarily a requirement that it goes on the capital improvement.
Yes, because I think John had a good, the Swift Foods is probably a standout because, you know, it gets added and then we're basically going to be done with it in the next year.
Got it.
So. Um, And so this is the part I was talking about earlier with the future funding. So in the bottom right corner of the new pages, you have the funding that's going out beyond 5 years, and the amount that is the funding sources identified, and then the unidentified source as well. So if we know we need a certain amount for whatever project, but we don't have a revenue source for it, that's what it'll fall in that unfunded category. Okay. Go ahead.
I'll go next. So in the identified section where it says future funding and funding, so between the two of them, they should equal the amount of the project.
That's correct.
Either we have it or we don't, or we have part of it, but we don't have all of it. But together, they'll match the dollar amount.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Does the plan distinguish between kind of maintenance, replacement, rehab type projects that preserve the same capacity of whatever piece of infrastructure it is from expansion projects such as adding a new lane to a road, building a bigger sewer pipe, those kind of things?
That is something that we are trying to mix into this new CIP report. We're trying to get most of the maintenance and those type of things in the regular budget, because those are maintenance type projects, and leave the CIP for the actual projects.
Or expansion projects?
Mostly, yes.
Yeah, I think it would be really helpful if we could easily, and I know that utilities directors and public work directors can do this pretty easily, can look at a project and say whether it's for capacity expansion or maintenance replacement, or sometimes it's both, you know, and give an estimate of how much of the project cost is for each. It would be really helpful, particularly for the growth impact study group that is, you know, attempting to understand how much we spend every year on infrastructure expansion for a growing population. Well, thank you for working to include that in this document.
Thank you.
Mayor.
Yeah, John.
We also have in this document annual projects which aren't specific projects, but we set aside money for things that come up through the year.
Yes.
That council may want to do, or something that comes up from disaster or something, where we have money set aside for these types of projects. So that's not talked about in here, but it's still sitting there. And so there can be sometimes hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars sitting in this annual project that can be used for certain things.
Yeah. Ms. Fowler.
How do you determine how much money you put every year in annual projects?
Well, for me, when I was public works director, if I saw, and I'll use state, county, city joint projects. If you know there's projects on the horizon, I'll put money in there. But if I don't see a lot of projects on the horizon, I'll leave a set amount in it, and it won't grow. We'll use it for other things. But that money's sitting there to use for joint projects. I think the one that I remember best is Rolling Hills out there. When we did that with the county, we actually bought extra right-of-way so that could be four-lane in the future for the city, and the county built the other, the two-lane portion. So, you know, those are sitting out there as annual stuff. If a joint project comes along, we have it available to use.
And a joint project, we could contribute money, and it doesn't turn out to be a capital improvement project for us.
Correct.
It's just we're partnering with someone else. So
correct.
Acquiring right-of-way is not a capital improvement project, but the county building, that's under their process, that's building the road.
So I just wanted you to know some of this money goes toward those kind of things.
Okay, got about 5 more minutes. Anything else?
Nope.
Any other questions? Any other suggestions? Ms. Power?
No, I just want to make a comment, which is with these slides and this 30-some minute of video for our citizens, this is really helpful to solve the mysteries, some of the mysteries. Some of it's still clear as mud. But I want to thank you very much for that. And so I want to take a copy of these slides, get it out to the neighborhood associations, post it on all their social media pages, tell them where to find the video so that it's essentially a webinar for them. Thank you.
Yeah, well, there's no cookbook for it. I'll just say it's you know, I've done it for a long time, and I'm just going to say there, it works 99% of the time, but there's always those one or two projects that fall out of it, and so we just have to adjust.
Thank you.
Anything else? I'll make a motion that the City Council of the City of Columbia immediately go into a closed meeting in Conference Room 1A, 1B of City Hall to discuss the preparation, including any discussions of work product on behalf of a public governmental body and its representatives for negotiations with employee groups pursuant to Section 610.021, Subsection 9 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri. Is my motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Scala. Mr. Thomas.
Yes.
Thomas votes aye. Mr. Pitzer.
Yes.
Ms. Peters.
Yes.
Mr. Treese votes aye. Ms. Fowler.
Yes.
Ms. Wainer.
Yes.
Mr. Scala, how do you vote?
Yes.
We are in closed session, and we'll be for about 45 minutes.